You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Hey, welcome to Humanitarian Radio on this fine Sunday afternoon. I am Janie Beauclair, and I am here with host
Tony St. Tone. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Tony. Awesome. So, hey, we have a really amazing guest today, and she's doing a variety of really cool things. I think you will be very pleased to learn what her life is all about. This is Sue Procco from Sue Procco Public Relations, and what she does is represents people who are in the entertainment field or not, and events that are going on. And she's working on quite a few really great things she's going to tell us about, and we're really excited to have her.
So today, what we thought we'd do is usually at the end of the show, we like to present a song to our guests, but what we thought is we'd do something different today and we would flip it. So the song we're presenting today is a song called Famous that I wrote, and it's all about the ups and downs of trying to make it in any industry that you want to make it in. And since Sue represents so many famous people who have climbed that ladder to success, I thought it'd be great to start off with this song. So this is a song called Famous by St. Tone.
Time, wrong place, no new connection, wiped out, no sleep, live frustration, never wanna say you were great, you finally make it, but now it's no crowd, so you have to fake it.
That song was called Famous. Hope you enjoyed that. We play that song out live, and our fans really enjoy it because, especially being in the Hollywood area, so many people can relate to it. If you're looking for a download of that song or the lyrics, you can go to sainttone.com, www.sainttone.com, and there's also a lot of video of us performing songs in our Rise Up show, so check that all out, and enlighten your day. Also want to talk about, for 1 second, Positive Music Radio. If you go on the Humanitarian Radio website, you will notice that we have a new page called Positive Music Radio. We are joining hitches with those guys. They do some really great things, and they are an uplifting station, very different from your traditional radio stations, and we'd like you to check them out. We're going to feature them on our page now, and our Tony St. Tone here actually has four songs that are now going to be played in rotation there. So check out the Facebook page and check out the Humanitarian Radio website to see what's going on for the station, the band, and our guests.
So we'll be right back with Sue Procco right after this commercial break.
Hey, this is Janie from Artistic Journey. Start off your new year with a new marketing strategy. Whether it's for your company or your personal goals push, let Artistic Journey help you find the unique way to show off your endeavor. With over 20 years of marketing experience in big corporations and homegrown businesses and everything in between, Artistic Journey can help you pave a new product path or an event marketing path. Check out ArtisticJourney.com. See the wide array of marketing merchandise available for you to put your logo on for your next big event, your personal party, or your big corporation marketing push. Get into the swing of 2014 and get your business in motion with an artistic promotion.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock song.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com. Mama said we can always hug it out. Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. We choose to end. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
So we are back with Miss Sue Procco from SPPR. Hi, Sue. How are you today?
Hi, guys. I'm good. I'm very good.
So happy to have you. We've been talking about you, which you haven't known, on and off the air for a year now.
Yes.
That's what it is.
It is. Yeah, your ears have been ringing. We were talking in November about you and the Visionary Awards that we had gone to, which was a project you were working with. And so we've brought you up here and there throughout the year on different things. We had Scott Barton on the air the other day, and he talked about you as well. So we thought we need to get Susie Q on the line here and introduce people to you and let them get to know you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
So let's talk about SPPR. What does it stand for?
Sure. It's Sue Procco Public Relations, and I started the company back in 1992, and it was about a year. It was a year after I left my post in publicity at MGM, and we focus on the entertainment industry, and over the years have grown into a nice little boutique agency that does public relations and management, and we work with indie films and produce events and help fundraise for good causes. So, and I have a good group of people that I work with, Scott included. Scott, who you had on and does a stage event, and Ed Peters, who is my guru of horror and also as well as being my Best Buy geek squad. all things technical go through Ed. And then Julie, who knows the indie film world quite well, and Tim, who is, I didn't realize you could have a degree in pop culture, but he has a degree in pop culture.
Wow, I didn't know you could have that.
Yeah, and then Melinda, who rounds it out, is quite the writer, and Hector, our newest member of the team, who's doing all of our social media and events for us. So it's a good group of people. So I'm really, really pleased. We've been in business for 2 decades, which is hard to believe because I really started when I was 12.
You started when you were 12. That is so cool.
She's one of those brainiac child, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
She well, was my first boss at MGM has to say that I had recess breaks. I demand that of him, that he tell everyone I had recess breaks. We worked together 25 years ago.
Yeah. Let me just say that being that long of a surviving company in the Los Angeles area is really saying a lot.
Yeah,
I was going to say, yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is. And we were just given the post of number 25 on the top 25 PR companies in all of Los Angeles this year. So
wow, congratulations.
Wow, that's awesome.
That is huge. And for anybody who is not well aware of LA and PR, I mean, they go hand in hand. If you don't have good PR, then you're not here in LA, because that's the whole name of the game, is getting your name out there. So obviously, right, for you to make that list, you had to be doing some really good PR just for yourselves, just to get out there.
Well, and to be
a surviving
company within thousands of them in this state, because this is the entertainment state. So obviously, you know, people that have the skill set come out here and give it a try. You've been not only a survivor of the business for that long, but a really successful one, and you've got your own niche, and you're doing just phenomenal things for PR in the movie industry.
Yeah, and I think it you have to have a couple of things. You have to have passion for what you do, and you have to believe in what you do, and you have to give back. And if you have those things, I think that you can succeed in anything you put your mind to. You're going to have your ups and downs. We've certainly had those throughout the years, but you just put one, as I was saying before, you put one foot in front of the other,
mm-hmm.
And that's what you do, you know. And you have to adapt as well. I mean, you know, the business that I've been in the last 20 plus years has changed dramatically. You know, first it was DVD or videos, VHS, even before VHS, and then mm-hmm. VHS to DVDs and DVDs to Blu-rays to digital to VOD, and I know I'm throwing a lot of terms out there, but we've had to adapt to all those markets. And, you know, I have a 16-year-old at home, and she likes to watch entertainment on her tablet, and I prefer to go into a theater and watch it.
Right. That would be old school.
Some people might. Yeah, I mean, the old days, exactly, the theater, you know. So, and it's kind of funny because I just had a project brought to me the other day it's from the great-grandson of Samuel Goldwyn, and he premiered it at the Silent Movie Theater. It's just a short that he put together that he's very proud of, and he premiered it at the Silent Movie Theater, and it's a silent, and he premiered it on the day that his grandfather's first film ever hit a theater. And
oh,
it was,
wow.
That was kind of cool. Yeah. His name's Eric Stern. So very, very proud of him because I've known him since he was 10. So I was good for you, Eric. Yeah.
Do you feel like, obviously you said throughout the years things have changed quite a bit. Do you feel like the actual PR has changed as far as what you do to help promote things?
Your
or
approach.
Is it just the media that you're actually promoting? Because obviously you said, you know, you went from VCR tapes to DVDs to downloads. So obviously that's technology constantly changes. But as far as PR is concerned, does that stay consistent as far as what you do to promote something?
Well, yes and no. The yes side is, well, the bigger picture is that we used to be proactive and were able to be proactive because we could control the message that we were getting out there much easier than we can today, because everyone has a camera and a video in their phone, and they can get the information out to the media or to whomever directly, consumer to consumer, on their own. So in that regard, a PR person has to be a lot more reactive than proactive. But the flip side of that is that I think that the traits that you have from when I first started, which were, you know, you have to have relationships with the media and good relationships with that, because everything you do is based on your relationship. You know, if you lie to a reporter and you don't tell them the truth, then that's going to bite you at some point. You also have to, you know, I've always been a firm believer in sending thank yous and reading what they wrote about you or they reading what they wrote about your clients and thanking them for it because they have to do their job as well.
Right.
I had a interesting campaign recently where it was we were issuing a statement because it was a very sensitive case and I don't usually get involved in those, but it was a very sensitive case and the reporters had to do their job and I understand that. But I also understood my client didn't have to get into it with the reporters. So, you know, I was very upfront with the reporters. He's not saying anything right now. If he's ready to talk at some point, I'll let you know, but here's the statement that he has for right now. And, you know, as opposed to, you know, being not answering the phone for the reporters, not getting back to them, because they still have a job to do.
Right. And if you dodge them, they're going to come about their story in some other method.
Right. They're going to make up their own story and go, well, this is what the source is saying. You're like, well, what are sources? Well, we couldn't get in touch with sources, so we
made our own.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. And in this day and age, it's easy to get in touch with another source because there's Facebook and there's Twitter
sure.
and there's, you know, and it doesn't take much to find somebody with the internet, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
or to find somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who lived next door to that somebody.
Right.
They just had that on. They were just showing the media frenzy with OJ because I guess it was the anniversary of OJ's
yes,
case.
Yes, I saw that.
And they were just talking about all the people that were involved in that and how they had, like, you know, became famous just because of this case. You know, if they were the lawyer or the
yeah.
judge, whoever it was involved.
Marcia retired. The prosecutor retired after that case.
Yeah, she was
like,
probably like, I'm over it. I'll write a book and I'm over it.
Well, she became a judge then
yes.
on TV.
Well, I mean, and you look at her interviews, if you saw that, if you look at her interviews today, I was kind of watching that with the eye of a PR person as to
mm-hmm.
how everything kind of came about. All the press conferences that Johnny Cochran set up and the press conferences that Marcia Clark set up. And there was an interesting line that Marcia Clark says in all of that where she says, I guess his team had a press conference every night after court. Well, her team didn't. They went back to work. And she said, well, if we had their kind of time, then maybe we would come out here and talk to you more. And I thought that was a very telling sign that they needed to assign somebody just to come out and give their side of the story every single night.
Right.
If that's what the opposite side was doing, then maybe they should have taken that as well. But it's easy to make judgments on, you know, 20 years later on what somebody did and didn't do right.
Yeah,
and
that
it's,
is
it's
a
always
really
easy to look
good.
Back in hindsight.
That's a really good thought, though, and statement. And you think about that in, like, a million other types of businesses. Like, you look at, you know, in our position, Tony's a musician. You look at how other musicians are marketing, and if you're not up to somewhat close to that standard of the successful musicians, then you're not going to be, you know, up there in the same caliber, in the same league. It's the same type of thing when you've got news agencies saying this. You better combat them with something. You know, I could see
right.
that thought pattern in all types of different organizations. If you're Kellogg's and you're trying to be post-cereal, or you know what I'm saying? Like every
right.
every corporation, every entity in business has to really pay attention to what the competition is doing in no matter what realm.
Absolutely.
And handle their PR appropriately.
Who?
Absolutely, and I think that's important.
Who would you say is a good client for you? Who would want to get in touch with you, and why?
Like
as far as
like
what type
client?
Of client would want to get in touch with you and go, she's a good fit for what I'm doing.
Well, we work a lot with indie filmmakers, independent filmmakers, and help them sort of guide through the system in terms of what they want to do with their properties, and. You know, the landscape, because I've been in the business for so long, the landscape isn't as defined as it once was in terms of what's out there for you. There's so many different avenues with Netflix and iTunes and Hulu Plus and Google Plus. All of those are money-making avenues for the filmmaker today. So we work with a lot of indie filmmakers. We produce a lot of events, and by events, I mean, I know that both of you have attended our Scare event that we've done with the with Malik Akkad, who is who's now the rights holder for all the Halloween properties. And he does that in memory of his father and his sister, who he lost a few years ago.
Right.
So we've put on a lot of benefit events as well. So we've done that, and we help produce those, from everything from finding the venue and figuring out how we're going to make money. I mean, I was just last week, we got pulled in, and I mean pulled in on a Thursday, and the event happened on Saturday, so we weren't in charge of finding the venue, but you both, I think, have talked about it, or you knew about the story where these two actors were on stage doing Tennessee Williams' Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. It was Anton Troy and John Lacey, and Anton was being heckled the whole first act. This was out in Santa Clarita, and John had not heard it. John played Big Daddy and Anton played Brick, and John had not heard the heckling and the homophobic slurs that were going on from the audience, and nothing was going on for production, and the house usher didn't do anything about it. And so in Act Two, at the end of Big Daddy, one of Big Daddy's scenes, the heckler says something he slings a F word, but it's not a four-letter F word, it's a three-letter F word at stage, and John broke character and broke that fourth wall and said, "What did you just say?" And the guy, you know, said, "What are you going to do about it?" And so John took off he didn't break the fourth wall by jumping over, he walked around the stage and walked off stage and went into the audience, and he pushed him. Well, there was a filmmaker in the audience that you happen to know, I know, by the name of Tim Sullivan. They're watching Anton perform, and Tim heard all of this going on, and he was frustrated as well, and he helped get he kicked the guy basically out of the audience, to which the audience cheered. The rest of the production went on. Well, that night, John got fired by the producers of the
which
show.
Which is amazing
and
in itself.
Anton, I know, yeah. And Anton quit out of solidarity for John because he felt it wasn't right, and I think a lot of people felt that way. And it's unfortunate that one audience member had that
power.
Effect, or actually it was two, and then the producers did nothing about it. So with that being said, the Actors Gang, Tim Robbins' group here in Culver City, they got wind of it, and they told the guys that they could have a performance to benefit No Hate at their theater, and whatever actors they couldn't bring from Santa Clarita or from that production would read on stage. So they lent some of their own actors. So I think they had four of their own actors and then four of the actors from the original production were there. And all four of the actors in the original production, their mothers came to the performance that night.
Nice.
So we raised money. Well, I don't know how much yet because they're still tabulating box office from last Saturday, but we raised money for No Hate because of John and Anton's efforts.
And now,
so,
tell people what No Hate is for those that are on the other side of the country and don't know what the No Hate campaign is.
No Hate is an organization that promotes a lot of things, actually, and it's basically that, no hatred, no bullying, no equal rights for everyone, so discrimination or not discriminating based on race, sex, gender, whatever. And they're an organization that's based out here in on the West Coast, and I think people would probably recognize it as the group that they do all those photos of celebrities with the mask tape on their masking tape on their mouth and No Hate painted on the side of their cheek. So, and they get the word out like that. And anti-bullying has been a big thing of mine for a lot of years. That and any fundraising when it comes to AIDS. So,
and let's talk about
that.
That AIDS fundraising, because you've been part of Entertainment AIDS Alliance for a long time. So tell us about AIDS Alliance.
I've been part of the group for over 20 years. The group's been around for 25 years. It's called the Entertainment AIDS Alliance. It started off as the Video Industry AIDS Action Committee, and it's a nonprofit group within the entertainment industry who we started back 25 years ago, almost 25 years ago, as the idea of a reporter at Variety, Daily Variety, the entertainment trade magazine. His name was Mark Berman, and Mark had a lot of friends who had AIDS, and they were in hospice care, and that particular hospice was losing money and about ready to shut down. And this was a time when people were not living with AIDS. There wasn't protease inhibitors at that time.
Right.
And so what Mark decided to do was to get, he wrote about the home entertainment industry, the video industry. So he went to his to the executives he knew in that industry and asked them if they could put together a tape sale, donate tapes to raise money for a group of people, this hospice. And what happened was the people he went to formed a committee and said, you know, we could raise money this one time, but this is only a Band-Aid on a bigger issue.
Right.
And they had the forethought to put this together. And they put together this group, and it was about 10 of them that started it. And it started off with an annual tape sale, which still goes on to this day, and it's our biggest fundraiser. It raises over $100,000 every year for us. And then that money we now give out. In the past, we've given it to hospices, but now we give it to AIDS service organizations nationwide. So we're in probably, I think the last count was over 40 states, 40 of the 50 states, we have an organization we donate to. So we also donate to UCLA AIDS Institute, which is UCLA AIDS Institute, which has a care center that cares for people who are affected with HIV. We also donate to Common Ground, which is out at the Venice Clinic here in Los Angeles. We've donated to, you know, places in New York, Kansas City, the Actors Equity, just a number of places that we've donated to that have helped them out. And then we also have a program that is through Aid for AIDS, which is what they do is we have a grant, and it's named after the man who came to start PIAC, which is now EAA, and that is the Mark Berman Financial Assistance Program. So if you have worked in the entertainment industry and you are out of work right now, or you are struggling and you're HIV positive and or have AIDS, you can go to one of the organizations, or you can go onto the website Aid for AIDS, and we have a grant that is non-restrictive, and it will help you pay your bills.
That's so amazing, Sue, to know that the entertainment industry is supporting their own people in something outside of the industry, you know, in a health matter.
Right.
I think that's just huge and really says a lot.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most important things that we do, that I believe we do, because I think sometimes the money goes to such larger organizations that the individuals who are dealing with these drugs that cost about $3,000 a month don't understand how hard it is to live on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
So to have a financial assistance program, it used to be only for people who worked in the home entertainment industry, but we opened it up about almost a decade ago to anyone in the entertainment industry. So we don't have anything to do with the administration of that. We give Aid for AIDS the money, so we don't ever know whose name goes through. So it's very anonymous, all of those things. So that's terrific. It's something near and dear to my heart.
One of the things that we focus on, our station's been out for a year now, and we have started out and continue to go with the thought of, we like to showcase what people in Hollywood are doing for the good, because you see them most on smut magazines, TMZ, and those types of shows, and it's never in a good light. And so we always are picking different stars and fundraisers, Mark Wahlberg, and, you know, just a variety of others that do these great fundraisers for humanitarian causes, but they never get the recognition for it. So this is so right in line with the things we like to let our listeners know, is that there's small pockets of you guys that are doing great, huge things and making changes in a significant amount of people's lives because you took the initiative to take something on. And
absolutely.
Something I
and I get to work with a lot of people like that, and I think that's what fuels me a lot.
I could see how that would happen. You get sucked right into the goodness of it all, and it's such a feel good result for you know what you guys are accomplishing. I could totally see how that would keep you fueled. I wanted to also bring up, you said you guys have your annual bake sale, and you've been doing that for how many years?
Our annual, it's actually a tape sale.
I call it a
tape sale, but it's really a DVD sale. And it's and we get the studios to donate DVDs to us, and then we turn around and we sell them for a very, very discounted rate, and all the funds come into EAA. And just to give you an idea, we have one employee, one executive director, and about 85% of the funds we raise go right back out.
Wow. Wow. And see, that's really cool to know that that's how you guys are raising money, because we're constantly looking up and finding what are new things people are doing in order to raise money in their own communities. And that's something fresh that I haven't heard of or exposed our listening audience to is, you know, you could go on eBay or Amazon and buy discounted DVDs and sell them at your own homegrown
event.
Yeah,
totally. And because Janie is constantly looking up new ways to there's websites dedicated to how to run fundraisers. And we are constantly talking to people about get involved, get started, do something in your own community. And most people just don't know how to start. And it could be as simple as a bake sale that could evolve into selling DVDs. Or last week we were talking about things that instead of selling candy door to door, she was selling cards to, like, for a car wash or cards to different restaurants and stuff. So there's so many other ways of getting involved in
scratch off cards. And there's bulb selling, flower bulb selling that's happening in the schools right now, and that's a newer thing. But yeah, so I'm always talking about, look, you could be one person creating your own movement to help the family next door or your church or whatever it is that drives you, but come up with some way to get started, whether you gather. We were talking about somebody who decided to show movies in their backyard up against a wall, and they were charging a couple dollars for all the neighborhood kids to come in and watch movies on Saturday night.
Right.
And they were raising money for a sick family.
Yeah.
And we're like, that's great. What a great idea. So it goes right in line with what you're saying about getting people donating the DVDs from these different companies and selling them, and I think that's just brilliant.
So
yeah, it's great.
So you have this event. This is coming June 19th. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's coming up on Thursday. We have, for the last 12 years, we've had a wine and wisdom event where we get companies to donate wine, and we take over the beautiful courtyard at the Skirball up at off the 405, and we open it up to the public. There's silent auctions. You can purchase things like, I think this year we have a guitar from Splash that he signed, and we have, let's see, what else do we have? We have we have some trips. We have jewelry up there. We have artwork up there that you can, we have baskets of DVDs, of course, and we have a raffle, great food, wine, music, and it's a very kind of a laid-back fun event for the night. And great desserts and all of that. And it's just kind of like a fun summer evening event. And tickets, we sell tickets for it, which is the underwriting of the cost. And it covers the food cost and any other costs that we might have for the event. And then that money that we raise, we have a yearly commitment that we honor with UCLA AIDS Institute, as well as Common Ground. So we give them a donation every year as a result of this event. So in the past, we've had some very prominent folks from UCLA come, and that's sort of the wisdom part of it. They've had the opportunity to let us know what's going on in the research community and how to and how close they are to finding new meds for it and treating it so that people not only are living
insight.
With it, you know, possibly preventing it. So.
Yeah. You know, education is the key to making change happen. You educate your people
exactly.
about the subject matter, and then they can react appropriately. But if people are not educated and aren't aware of what is needed, then they don't know how to react to help it out.
No, absolutely. So it's a fun event, and there isn't, in terms of the wisdom, the UCLA people are there, the Common Ground people are there. So if you want more wisdom, we don't force the wisdom down your throat, nor do we force the wine down your throat.
Right.
But both are there to partake as you want. I always like being around the beneficiaries that we have for EAA because it sort of gives you the idea. I think sometimes when you work with nonprofits, you get very wrapped up in not knowing who you're actually helping sometimes. And,
right.
It's nice to be around the beneficiaries.
Oh, definitely.
So,
definitely,
yeah.
Without a doubt. And so, again, that's this coming Thursday, June 19th. If you want to get tickets, where do you get tickets?
You get tickets online at Entertainment AIDS Alliance. And so it's Entertainment AIDS Alliance and .org.
Mm-hmm.
And you can send there, or you can go to our Facebook page, which is face at Facebook.com, EAA Buzz, BUZZ, EAA BUZZ.
Okay, and we're going to post on our website as well and on our Humanitarian Radio Facebook so that people can find you. Also, I do want to mention too. You don't just do things out in California. You're all over the world. You travel, sister.
Yes, I do. I travel everywhere. We're going to be at Tomicon down in San Diego in July with some exciting stuff for some of our clients, and then Toronto Film Festival in September. We put on events. A lot of the film festivals. We were at the Cannes Film Festival 2 years ago with one of our clients and did a small beach party, and that was fun and exciting. And we've done a little bit of, we've done events in New York, and we've done events in Florida. We've done events in just all over the place. I probably the one of the and this is years ago, but one of the most original ones or most fun that I actually had was we carpeted the streets of Culver City yellow where they shot Wizard of Oz, and we flew Dorothy home in a hot air balloon. We launched it from Culver City from the old MGM lot and flew her back to Kansas, and she landed on the governor's lawn in Kansas 10 days later, and he declared it the day that Dorothy finally returned home 50 years later. So that was fun.
How cool is
that?
That's
really cool.
What a blast.
Yeah.
The reason I wanted you to say that you travel to do what you do is because last week we had a gentleman named Isaac Simpson on, and he got in touch with us from Orlando talking about entertainers that fundraise for St. Jude's Hospital there. So, and I know I was listening. So I want people to understand that it doesn't matter what part of the country you're in, they can call on you and use your services for their fundraisers or their big events and the things that they're doing.
Actually, you have to
Absolutely.
Say you can call one of the top 25 PR companies in Los Angeles.
Which is huge. Yay.
That's your new slogan, by the way. Yes, we're the top 25. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Should have been the
yeah.
number one voted.
It
just didn't get enough
people
there.
Doing that across the country, being able to do things. No is not in my vocabulary.
That's what I love about you.
It's not in my vocabulary. So sometimes that can be a little bit hellacious on my my time.
Right.
But it's just not in my vocabulary. I like doing what I do too much. And sometimes, in fact, I belong to my daughter's PTA board, and I just went to a PTA training last Saturday. And somebody said to me, what do you do at PTA training? And I said, they train you not to say no.
Perfect. You know, but that, it's that kind of. I think that's what makes you be part of the top 25 is because you don't say no and you take on probably jobs that other people don't want to take on because sometimes, like you said, this latest one that you just took on was a very sensitive one.
There's fear factor
and
involved.
There's fear factor involved going like, do I say the right thing? Did I do the right thing? And you're going to get some criticism.
Right.
So you're really not sure, but you're like, well, I'm going to represent this client because I believe in what they did. And you're
going
to have to face the fire because now you're the person, a spokesperson for that client. They're like, I don't know what to say in the media, so you got to help me say it, basically, so I don't say anything wrong. And you have to protect my image and make it all look good. So it's obviously a tough position to be in sometimes.
Well, it carries a lot of weight.
You know, I think a lot of times in situations like that, it can go either way. You know, it could have been looked at as, you know, I personally don't think that you could look at it any other way, but you never know when a media person is going to take it one way or another, because no matter how neutral a journalist tries to be, they are bringing their own experience to their writing, and so you kind of have to look at that. Plus, where their editors are at. So, you know that an entity like, you know, that might be more conservative isn't going to report on a more liberal topic in one way that, you know, in a very open way. So it's interesting to me because, you know, I grew up in a time when there were three channels, and when the president was on, that was, you know, television was over. So
back then when there was three channels and there was rabbit ears, and you're like, what are rabbit ears? There were these antennas that you had to move around.
Yeah, exactly. Rabbit ears,
and you
had to actually
on the
get
end.
Up and walk across the room to change the channel.
Yeah.
And if Dad wanted to watch TV, you had to stand next to it and hold it, damn it. That's how you... and your kids were your remote controls.
Mom was in charge of getting the aluminum foil to make little balls on the tips of the antenna to get that much better reception.
Yes, and I grew up in the middle of the country, so that reception sometimes wasn't so good, no matter how much foil Mom got out.
Right.
Well, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Kansas.
I grew up
in the southeast corner of Kansas.
Right with Dorothy and everyone.
That's how she brought Dorothy home.
Right there with Dorothy. That's why I'm still thrilled about having sent Dorothy home.
Yeah.
Now I see
awesome.
The tie-in. You were meant to do that job. It's like, look, I have to send Dorothy home. You don't understand.
Yes, exactly. I have to. Yeah. I actually, you know, that idea actually did come from me living in Kansas, because when I was in college at Kansas State University, I did my internship in Topeka, which is where the state capital is. And on Sundays, when I lived there through the summer doing my internship, on Sunday mornings, I would, outside my apartment, I would hear this huge, like, I can't describe the sound. You just would have to hear it. But it's basically the sound that fire makes going into a hot air balloon. It's a hot air balloon being, you know, the fire propelled into it. And it makes this sound and I remember the first Sunday that I heard that sound, like, I heard it over and over and over again. And what had happened was I had moved into an apartment building that summer, that outside the window, every Sunday, there were hot air balloons that would launch in the summer.
Uh-huh.
Every Sunday. And so that's what gave me the idea, was to send Dorothy home in a hot air balloon. Was I didn't realize that Topeka was such a ballooning community until I did that internship.
Let me ask you real quick, what made you get into PR? Did you always know that you want to do that, or is it something that you just sort of fell into? Or
no, I had no idea that there was a job like this. I have a degree in industrial psychology, which is a fancy word for saying either you could go either into human resources or you could go into time and motion studies on the scientific end of it, and I did do, when I moved out to California, and I moved out here because there's a beach on one side and there's mountains on the other, and I like that idea. But I moved out here, and I ended up working in human resources. And my first year, I worked for an insurance company. My second year, I worked for Paramount Pictures. And I realized, in HR, and I realized that just wasn't
exciting enough.
I didn't have any passion in it anymore. I didn't seem to ignite me in any way. So I kind of took a summer off and tried to figure out what I wanted to do, and I ended up working at MGM as a temp, and I landed in a position in home video. I worked in theatrical for a little while, but I worked in home video, and I met a group of people that I still stay in touch with today, and one of them became my mentor, Ralph Tribby, and I learned the business from Ralph. Ralph had owned a theater at one time, and then he was a distributor for a while, theatrical distributor, and then he worked in home video. And he taught me the business, and I took classes at UCLA about PR, and I used that, my common sense, and the advice of some very talented celebrities. At the time, we were working with Ann Miller and June Allison and Sid Charisse and Donald O'Connor, and those were the ones who told me how you treat talent, taught me how to treat talent.
Wow.
So I have some good teachers.
That is awesome. So, I mean, so if someone wanted to get into it today, I didn't realize you can actually take courses in PR.
Yes, you can. You can get a degree in communications. You can go on either side of the fence. One side is journalism. The other side is PR. And if anyone listening is interested in PR and or journalism, I highly, highly advise that you really take a lot of courses in social media and coding, because that's the new hot topic, is coding for PR. Because I think a lot of times, you know, a lot of our work now is online, and, you know, you write a press release, and pay attention to in your English classes. You write, because there's nothing that irritates me more than poorly written press releases. But you write a lot. It ends up online. And nowadays, you know, before, when I was the first started out, you send a press release, it went to a journalist. The journalist rewrote it or used it to start a story. Nowadays, you can write a press release, and it can end up in the consumer's hand. Before
right.
it even goes to a newspaper, so
anywhere else, yeah.
Or someone on their website will write the first part of it and then let your press release stand. So you really have, when you're hiring the PR firm, you have to know that who you're hiring has the ability to craft your message. Because if they can't craft your message, they're in a lot of cases they're going direct to your consumer and
right.
or your audience. And you want to make sure that they can present themselves well.
So is coding something that you do to a press release and you put it on the internet and you code it a certain way so it ends up on more websites? Is that what coding is?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like SEO, search engine optimization, but coding is that, and the ability to put in words that will be searched frequently, that kind of thing. And it has to do with Twitter and Facebook and all of those social media platforms.
That's a challenge in itself.
Right. So coding is probably the newest, latest thing that you really have to fully understand. So that way, when your article hits the internet, these specific words, it's going to pull from, and it's going to pull you into all these different directions. So now you get that much more
bang
exposure.
For your buck. Yeah.
Correct?
Exactly. That's
gotcha.
Exactly correct.
So do you have, so is that, you said earlier you were talking about your team, and you have someone on your team who's very
social
into
media.
Social media, so that's something that they have to be very knowledgeable of then.
Right. And he helps with our website, but in addition to our website, he does a lot of our Facebook and a lot of our social media, or Facebook and Twitter. And between those two are our strongest platforms that we utilize to do certain things. Now, there are times when we have to be very careful about what we put up in terms of our clients. And what I mean by that is sometimes we let our clients lead. Because I was always taught, and this is sort of an old school idea, but some of the publicists that are out there now seem to think that they're part of the story. And
right.
I've never believed that the publicist is part of the story.
They want to be.
They want to be. Yeah, they want to be. And I'm perfectly fine being a cameraman. You know, I'm perfectly fine crafting the message, getting the message out there, and letting the camera and the lights go on my client where it should be, in my opinion. So, in fact, I think it was Ed in my office who's often said, you know, they shouldn't see the man behind the curtain. you know, because it's really about the, and that's kind of what I was taught from the Ann Millers and the June Allisons and the Teresas, is that, you know, that they have to look great out in the public, and I help them to look great, whatever that might entail. Mm-hmm. If that means getting them a bottle of water, then that's my job.
Right.
You know, if that means, you know, telling a fan, I'm sorry, we have to leave right now, that's my job, but I have to do it in a respectful way because these are their fans. The reason that they're in the position that they're in is because they have fans.
That's right. That's right. And the fact that, you know, you recognize that. And so many people, when we first moved out here 3 years ago, we started getting introduced to the red carpet world because in, you know, Tampa, Florida, there's not a whole lot of red carpets going on over there. So,
nope.
But what we realized was the value of people having a PR person. And
right,
if you
right.
don't have a PR person and you're out there on the red carpet and you're willy-nilly saying this and that, you could cause yourself a serious problem when that gets broadcast all over the world.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because I have clients that will go to events and they'll have their pictures taken even inside the event, not out at the red carpet, but inside the event. When they've had a chance to walk the red carpet, they'll get inside and maybe they'll grab a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't think anything of having their pictures taken with that glass of wine.
Yeah.
Well, I do. I immediately go to, let me have your purse, your coat, your glass of wine, whatever.
Right.
That will impede the image, as well as, you know, I mean, it might be one glass of wine that they have, but who knows where their life's going to be in 10 years and what that picture is going to imply in
right.
10 years.
Oh, they were an alcoholic 10 years ago. They had that glass of wine on the red carpet in Hollywood, remember?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's funny because you have to constantly think ahead of time, and I think that's part of
her talent.
That's part of the talent is saying, you know, you're thinking of just, I'm here to have a party, I'm here to eat and socialize, and you're thinking of every other angle as how can this
right.
be used against my client
in the future.
At some future
right.
time. So I'm sure that your clients sometimes look at you and go like, really? I can't have some wine
and,
at a wine tasting?
Probably the best story I have, I love this story, is Vincent D'Onofrio. We met on a red carpet with Vincent in New York, and he's known for Law and Order, Criminal Intent. And Vincent is kind of that he's always plays that quirky character. And he did an indie film with one of my clients and was red carpet. He had a big gulp in his hand. Now, I knew that any photos of him with a big gulp, and it was just a big gulp, it was a soda, it was like a Diet Coke or whatever.
Right.
And I knew that any photos of him with that big gulp probably wouldn't get used because it implies maybe a sponsorship endorsement or whatever
right.
it applies. I mean, I just, my head was going and going and going. And I reached out to take it from him before he stepped on the red carpet. And he put it behind his back. And he went, no, you can't have it. And I was like, okay, great, just so you know. And then I tried to take it again when he started to walk the carpet. And he said no. So it became a game with he and I. So he finally went around the red carpet and put it behind the wall of the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hopped on the carpet, and then he kept looking back at me like, don't touch my soda. And it became, I'm like, fine, I'm not going to touch your soda. I won't touch your soda. It'll be fine. And it was very funny because, you know, I know that he was like, some actors, and I don't know what his, you know, what it became a game with us, but some actors aren't used to that.
Right.
They aren't used to, and I don't know what his thing was. I think it was just he was kind of bored and wanted to, you know, banter a bit. But I think some actors aren't used to that, and that's the way I was trained. That's the way I trained the people who work for me, you know, to think ahead, to think, you know, what it's going to be. You got to make sure that the client looks good in his photos, that kind of thing. You adjust dresses. You look at things like that. And just like a photographer, so you kind of have to put on a lot of hats. Photographer, videographer, interviewer, you know, you have to prepare them before interviews for questions, you know, that kind of thing. Here are your bullet points. Here's what you have to get back to when you're talking a short interview. I mean, Anton and John did an interview on Fox the other day. And you have a lot of material to tell their story, and you only have 3 minutes to tell it.
Right.
So they kind of had to get to the point quickly, on, off, boom, and talk about it. And so with that being said, you know, you kind of have to think very quickly on your feet, all of those things. And you have to not be afraid, either, you know, because I've worked with some mega stars where I've had to, you know, tell them where to go, how to stand, what to do, that kind of thing. And you have to just be able to do that, you know, take charge of the event and get it done because they're expecting you to.
I bet you've worked for a lot of mega stars that you would have liked to tell where to go.
My lips are sealed. That's the best thing about a publicist. My lips are sealed.
Janie's trying to get some of that TMZ dirt from you. See that, Janie, how you slipped that in? This is humanitarian radio, people.
No. There's a few that maybe off air I'll tell you who those people are.
Well, Sue, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so happy to
have
you.
Absolutely.
And is there anything that you've got coming up that you want people to know, like in the next few months? You keep an eye out for this or for that.
Sure. I'll actually place a plug for a couple things. We'd love to have a few more people visit us and help support EAA on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So if they visit your website and get the links to our tickets. Second, at Comic-Con, look out for what we've got going on for this little film you might have heard of called Halloween. There's going to be a complete collection coming out in September, so we'll be at Comic-Con with Halloween.
Excellent.
All 10 movies in one box.
Wow.
Very exciting. And then the other thing is I'm going forward with Anton and John, and they will be raising funds to take the show, Tennessee Williams' show, which is so relevant today. I mean, ironically, you know, Brick's character is struggling with his sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting that in this day and age, somebody was yelling homophobic slurs at
that just blows me away, because you should have some clue about the show before you go see it. Normally, you look up what a show's about before you go to see it. Hello.
Exactly. So we're going to be launching a campaign to help them raise funds, to help Anton and John raise funds to take that to New York. So I will be posting some information about that soon, and I'll forward it to you guys so you can share it with your audience.
Excellent, excellent. We've had a lot of people on our show that have participated in the No Hate campaign, Cassidy Mack and a few other of the younger Disney stars. So we've been keeping tabs on that whole campaign for about 3 years now. 2 years?
Well, you guys will have to go get your photos done.
Yeah.
Have Adam take your picture at No Hate.
We'll have to do a St. Tone No Hate photo.
We'd love to do that. We'd definitely support it. I would love to be part of that.
Okay. Well, I'll put you guys in touch with them.
You're the PR person. You get that to happen, will you?
Yeah. I'll work on that. I'll work on that. I told you I can't say no.
See that? Wow. I better start thinking about what else I want to ask for.
So thank you so much again.
Exactly.
Thanks again for coming.
Well, it was
great
to talk to you guys.
We want everybody to realize that you are approachable. You're an organization that, them being a small mom and pop event, they can reach out to you. And if there's something that you can't do for them, you give them some guidance and things of that nature. And I want everybody to just know that you're one of these types of firms that normal, everyday anybody can go to and reach out for their own events that are going on.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So thank you again, Sue, and we look forward to the event on the 19th. And everybody, please, if you're in the area, get out and support it. And if you're not in the area and you're on the other side of the country listening, know that you can still donate and you can still support this cause from any state in the union here. And don't worry that you're not here. Know that your money is going to help people. And feel like you can be a part of this with us. And make sure you check out online, because you can see photos from the last events that they've done and see who came to this one if you can't make it, and still know that you supported something great.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I want to put out there is if you're in another state and you know of an AIDS service organization that might need a little help and a donation here and there, please let us know. And if they're not on our list, we would love to add them to that list. And it's a very simple process.
Excellent. On our website as well. Sue, we'll keep in touch with you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, honey.
Hey, that's our show for this week. Have a great day.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.